Unit 3. Celebration. Lesson 9. Chinese seasonal festivals.
Autumn. Every year in September or October, the Mid-Autumn Festival is celebrated by Chinese people all over the world. On this day, the moon is said to be at its biggest and brightest in the year, and mooncakes are eaten at moon viewing parties. The Mid-Autumn Festival is important because it is a special occasion for family reunion. Millions of people make the journey back home to share the feeling of being together with all members of the family. Traditional mooncakes are made with bean paste and salted egg yolks. But nowadays, there are many different kinds of mooncakes, including ice cream, coffee, chocolate, and even fruit mooncakes.
Winter. The Lantern Festival falls on the 15th day of the first lunar month. It marks the end of the Chinese New Year celebrations. There are many stories about the origin of the Lantern Festival. In one story, lanterns were lit to celebrate Buddhism's power in driving away darkness. In another story, the lantern saved a town from destruction. There was a god who wanted to burn down the town. He was tricked into believing the town was already burning by the sight of thousands of lanterns. In the past, lanterns were usually lit by candles and decorated with pictures of birds, animals, flowers, etc. Nowadays, most lanterns are powered by electricity and made in a variety of shapes and sizes. In the northeast part of China, there are even ice lanterns. The special food for Lantern Festival is sweet dumplings, which is made of glutinous rice and different sweet fillings. The dumplings can either be boiled or fried, depending on the preference of the individuals.
Summer. The Dragon Boat Festival falls on the fifth day of the fifth month of the lunar calendar. It is celebrated with customs that started more than 2,000 years ago. In the old days, dragon boat races were held only in Chinese communities. However, in recent years, people from other cultures have also taken part in the races and enjoyed the fun. The special food for the festival is called zongzi. Glutinous rice wrapped in fresh bamboo leaves is steamed with a sweet or salty filling. As the Dragon Boat Festival is in early summer, it also marks the beginning of the hottest season of the year.
Lesson 11. Weddings. Weddings in Indonesia. What to do and what not to do.
If a friend gets an invitation to a wedding, you can go with him or her, even if you don't receive an invitation yourself. The times of the wedding ceremony and the reception are both on the invitation. However, you shouldn't go to the ceremony because it is conducted only for close family. If you really want to see it, you should ask first. Everyone can attend the reception afterwards. Nowadays, Indonesian women don't have to cover their heads, but they usually wear traditional clothes. There is a box at the entrance to the reception, and you have to put money into it. But don't worry, you don't have to contribute a lot of money. And remember, at most wedding receptions, you can't drink alcohol.
Greek weddings.
On the day of a Greek wedding ceremony, the groom has to ask the bride's father for his daughter's hand in marriage. The groom's best man then goes with the couple to the church to be married. During the church ceremony, the best man should help the priest to put crowns made of orange blossoms on the heads of the bride and groom. A long silk ribbon has to link the crowns to symbolize a happy and long life for the couple. After the ceremony, the guests can attend a wedding reception, which is usually a huge party and can last through the night. There is a lot of eating, drinking and dancing, including the famous Greek circle dance, where everyone joins in. During the reception, guests can smash dishes on the floor and pin money to the bride's wedding dress for good luck.
Lesson 12. Christmas. Memories of Christmas. For me, Christmas always began in the middle of the cold, windy month of November. My sister Alison and I sat down in front of the fire and wrote a letter to Father Christmas, telling him about all the presents we wanted. We solemnly addressed our letters to Father Christmas, the North Pole, before sending them up the chimney. With December, our excitement grew each day. As we opened the Advent calendar, Christmas cards arrived in the post, the nativity play at our school, Christmas lights in the streets, the town carol service, and of course, snow everywhere, enough snow to make snowmen, build igloos, and to have glorious snowball fights in the school playground. On Christmas Eve, the whole family helped to decorate the house, put up the Christmas tree and the decorations, and blow up the balloons. Then, in the afternoon, when Auntie Kathleen and my two cousins arrived, everything was ready. Before we went to bed, we left some brandy and mince pies for Father Christmas, and then put our stockings at the end of our beds. We tried to stay awake as long as possible to see Father Christmas. But the next thing we knew, it was morning. Christmas morning. At the bottom of the bed was the stocking, now full of all kinds of small presents and sweets. And at the bottom, a chocolate sixpence and a tangerine. Christmas morning was bright and sunny, and after church, my cousin David and I went out into the garden to play with our new presents. Lunch was always late, but what a lunch! Roast turkey with all the vegetables, followed by Christmas pudding and brandy butter. When we pulled the crackers, the dog barked. We took out the plastic toys, laughed at the jokes, put on the silly paper hats, and laughed again. After lunch, the adults slept on the sofas in front of the Queen's speech on television. Well, we all played cards. Then we had tea with a huge Christmas cake covered with snowmen and polar bears. It didn't seem possible, but we carried on eating. By bedtime, all of the children were exhausted. As soon as we turned off the light, we all fell into a deep, contented sleep.